And most of you probably woke up your normal time and laid there for an hour because the body just doesn't change that fast. Thank you, Jonathan and Moses and Andrea, for your worship time there. That was good in church. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for just being with us as we praise you and as we worship with you, and that you're so kind to us all the time. You love to hear our worship, and we thank you for that. And we also know part of our worship is hearing your word. So, Father, as we look into your word today, we pray that you'll open our ears, help us to understand the word of God better. We thank you that you speak through your Holy Spirit and through the word of God. Draw us close to you as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue in Thessalonians today, we are still in chapter 4, but we're to a part that is really amazing part of chapter 4. Those who are asleep, and we're going to talk about, you know, asleep, what that means, and also the second coming and all the good stuff that is with that. And so as we do that, you know, this is a subject that should be important to us, because we want to be with our loved ones again. We want to be with those who've preceded us in death or sleep, and we will be. So as we start in verse 13 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, let's read that together. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Wow, that is powerful. In fact, that is probably one of the loudest speaking scriptures that we have in the Bible, because it says that with the Lord's voice and a command and an archangel and a trumpet call. That's a loud verse. It's going to be everybody can hear. Everyone can hear. In fact, those who aren't in the Lord will hear and they will miss out. You know, it's that second coming is an exciting time. And of course, these New Testament Christians in the first century thought that they would experience that in their lifetime. And they were kind of down because they thought, oh, you know, we have loved ones who are part of the church who have already passed away. What about them? And so Paul wants to encourage them, the body of Christ, saying, hey, no, they're going to be all part of this. And it's a very important passage. You know, I've read this passage many times at many gravesides and funerals, and it's an encouragement to those people because they're, you know, they know that they're going to see their loved one again. But it should be an encouragement to us today also. It really, really is an important piece. In the second coming, we have a hope that non-Christians don't have. That is so important we realize that. We have a hope that non-Christians don't have. And whether we're alive, if Jesus would come now or middle of the night, whenever, or whether asleep, meaning we've passed away from this life. We both will share in the glory, is the word I want to use, in the glory when Jesus comes. So, you know, they're not going to experience the glory before us, and we're not going to experience it without them. We're going to experience it together. Now, there are some really interesting pieces to this that we've all probably tried to figure out, and it's hard to figure it out sometimes because we think about, and I've used this scripture many times about if you passed away, we know that our soul goes to be with God. And that is true. But we also know the reality of when we put a person in that casket and we put them in the ground, that that person's body is in the ground. And the thing is, how does God put it all back together? And we'll talk about that a little more here because I think it's an important piece. The dead in Christ, that's those who have died or passed away, who were Christians. And it's so important. And so we understand that they have died. Those who sleep, they have died. They've passed away. But it says, because of hope. And hope is a really important word in Scripture. It's not like the hope the world gives. It's different. Our hope is the hope we have because of the resurrection. It's because of the resurrection that we live again. It's because of the resurrection that we get to go be with the Father and get to go to heaven. It's because of the resurrection that we'll get new bodies. It's because of the resurrection that we have a hope to see our loved ones again. We have hope because of the resurrection. That hope is like no other hope. The world can promise hope, but they cannot give hope like the Christian has. Our hope is so much more powerful than that. It is the best hope, the only true hope there is. And so because of the hope, as it says in Scripture, and it goes on with this next part, we have a union. And it's important we understand what a union is. A union is where you come together. We have a union with who? With Jesus, with Christ, with the Lord. It's because that union with the Lord, which nothing can break. That's important. If you've been united with Christ, and you can look at many scriptures. I love the passage in Romans 6 where it talks about when they become Christians, and they have asked Christ in their heart, and then they're baptized, immersed, and they have that union. They've been united with Christ. When we're united with Christ, when we have that union, we are one with Him. And that's so powerful. And so when that second coming comes, there's nothing that can break that bond. When you're His, you're His. He doesn't leave you. Now, sometimes we mess up and we think that try to leave Him, but He never leaves us. He's always there for us. And that's important that we understand that we have this union with Him. We're not ourselves anymore. The Spirit of Jesus lives in my heart. Christ lives in my heart. And I have that union with Him. It's different. We are different people. As it says in Scripture, we are a particular people. We are different than the world. And it's so important we understand. So we have that union with Christ, which nothing can break. Nothing can break. And the reason, which we've talked about some, and I'm going to say it again because it's right there in Scripture, is because Christ died and rose again. That's why that union can't be broke. Because when He died and rose again, you know, that shedding of blood, it cleanses all of our sins, not just once, but for eternity. We have total forgiveness of sins for eternity. Now, that's not a license to sin, but we have total forgiveness forever, for eternity. And that is that's a reason that is so powerful. And what's so cool is these are promises. These are promises. You know, there's like 800 promises in the Bible. But these promises I just love so much. They are so, so important. You think about, now there are souls, when we die, what happens when we die? You say, oh, they're gone. They're not there anymore. Your soul goes to heaven. Soul goes to heaven. The body's still here, isn't it? This body. And the body is in the earth. We put it into the earth. Now, I don't get into debates whether you're in the casket or are cremated. God is such a big God, he can put it all back together. You know, that's the good part about it. But God brings it all together. So, when that second coming comes, when that archangel, you know, sounds his trumpet and the voice of God with a loud command is there, you think about this, you know, he takes the soul, which he already has in heaven with him, and he takes those who preceded us, as it says in Scripture, on earth in those graves, he takes those and he puts them together in the clouds, and then he puts us with that. That's the glory that he's talking about. That's that glorious event of putting all three of that back together. The living in Christ, along with those who, have, you know, they've already died, but he's put the soul and the body together, and us also, all three together, with Jesus in the clouds. Wow. That's no wonder it's so loud. It's something to be excited about. If you want to dance in church, you should dance over this. It's really something, it's amazing. I like this little illustration. A missionary was teaching, he puts it this way. A student asking, this is a missionary named Gregory Fisher. He writes, "What will he say when he shouts?" One of his students had said, "What will he say when he shouts?" The question took Gregory by surprise. He says, "I had already found the West African Bible College students can ask some of the most penetrating questions about a minute of details in Scripture." And you think about this, it all happens in a twinkling of an eye, it says in Scripture. A twinkling, that's not a minute, that's just like, whoa. You know, a twinkling of an eye. It says, anyway, so thinking about 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says that Christ will descend from heaven with a loud command, and I would like to know what that command will be, is what the student asked. I wanted to leave the question unanswered, to tell him that we must not go past what Scripture has revealed. Okay? Sounds good. But my mind wandered to an encounter I had earlier in the day with a refugee from the Libertarian Civil War. Okay. The man, a high school principal, had told me how he was apprehended by two-man death squad. And after several hours of terror, the men described how they would torture and kill him, and he nearly escaped. And after hiding in the bush for 2 days, he was able to find his family and escaped to a neighboring country. The escape cost him dearly. Two of his children lost their lives. The stark cruelty unleashed an unsuspecting, undeserving population, it had touched him deeply, the story had. He says, "I also saw flashbacks of the beggars that I passed each morning on my way to the office. Every day I would see how poverty destroys dignity, robs men of the best of what it means to be human. Sometimes substitutes the worst of what it means to be an animal. I am haunted by the vacant eyes of people who have lost all hope." They said, "Reverend, what have you have not given me an answer yet. What will he say?" The question hadn't gone away. "Enough," I said. "He will shout, 'Enough,' when he returns." The student looked surprised. Opened the face of the student. What do you mean, enough? Enough suffering? Enough starvation, enough terror, enough death, enough indignity, enough lives trapped in hopelessness, enough sickness and disease, Enough. Time. Enough. So it's a very powerful illustration of, you know, what will be that command? Well, I don't know what the word will actually be, but I can understand why the missionary said, enough. God might say enough. He's tired of all the sin, all the evil that happens in the world. We should be tired of it too. We should be praying for that second coming. All of us should, because it's going to be a glorious day when we meet Jesus in the clouds and meet those who have fallen asleep before us, that we all are together. And it's just an amazing piece. You know, God is so big and puts it all together. I can't imagine how He puts it together, but He does. It's so important. Really, really important. But He puts it all together. Thinking about the living in Christ, those of us who are living in Christ, which is very important, we are not going to miss out. And that's what He wants to assure the Thessalonians in this passage. He says, you're not going to miss out. You will meet them in the clouds. You will not precede those who have gone before you, those who have already died in Christ. You're not going to precede them. You're going to meet them in the clouds. We're not going to miss out on the glorious time. What an event. It's going to be better than any football game, any volleyball game. I say that because we have good football, good volleyball, amen. But it's going to be better than, you know, we look at those thousands of people in the stands and they're cheering and they're exciting. That's no comparison to what the second coming is going to be. It's going to be a glorious day. And the shout of God and the trumpet call of God is a wonderful thing. It's just wonderful. So we're not going to miss out. And that's why I say in verse 16, and I should read it, verse 16 to you again. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wow. That's got to be the loudest voice and the loudest verse in the Bible, I think. It really does. It's a loud verse. It speaks loud. And so the idea of being caught up together with those who went before us and thus who are still alive. You know, I thank the Lord every day for being alive. I enjoy being alive. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my kids. I enjoy my church family. I enjoy life. I enjoy seeing the sun come, the fall, leaves fall. I enjoy the snow coming. Oh, something wrong there. But I enjoy everything that God gives and bless. But I will enjoy more being caught up in the clouds, being caught up in the glory. That word glory is so important in that scripture. The glory of God. God's glory is so much more than we can ever picture or see. You know, we get up this morning, we say, oh, it's going to be another beautiful day, praise the Lord. That is nothing in comparison to what this is going to be. You know, you think about the world, it's so much bigger than we can imagine. God has created this universe, not just this planet. We're supposed to be one of, as we were in school, we said 9 planets. They've changed that number, you know. They say that Pluto's not actually a planet, but I think it is. Anyway, and then we're only one solar system among many solar systems. God is so big, there's so many stars that we can't count. And as it talks about that God's people will be more than the sand, grains of sand upon the earth. Can you imagine that? Wow. And so anyway, to bring all that glory together, wow, that's going to be something. Better than Christmas. Better than Christmas. And, it's amazing. The loud command of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. That is encouragement. That's why Paul says, and he says here, he says in the last verse of this passage, chapter 4, before we move on to chapter 5 next week, but here it says, therefore, and you know, when it says in Scripture, you've taught this, therefore, you always look what the therefore is there for, right? Why does he say therefore? He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So these are words I probably shouldn't be just using at funerals. I should be using them more often. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. That, hey, we will see our loved ones again. They will not precede us. We will meet them in the clouds. Be encouraged. Now, encouragement is a great, important word. Encouragement means hope, being sure of. So we're not shaky on this issue. We're sure of it. It's giving someone support. And that's what Paul was doing to Thessalonians here. He was supporting. Hey, it's okay. I'm going to give you some encouragement. This is support. I give you some hope. It's the word confidence. He's giving them confidence. And as Christians, we should walk around very confident and not shaky about the second coming. It's really, really important piece of who we are. The word encouragement. We all could use encouragement. You know, this last week I thought the police had stepped up there pulling people over. I seemed to see them everywhere, it seemed like. I don't know what it was. Here's a police force in Connecticut, and they decided in Windsor, Connecticut, South Windsor, Connecticut, to start pulling over people when they were driving good. Not bad. They wanted to give them encouragement. So they would pull over motorists in large numbers, more than usual. And one person stopped by a patrolman. Her name was Lori Carlson. According to the Reuters, the news service, the policeman approached her car and she wondered what she had done wrong. And to her amazement, the officer handed her a ticket that said, "Your driving was great." Wow, that's nice, isn't it? And we applaud it. So on Wednesday, June 9th, the authorities in this Hartford suburb had begun a new program to give safe drivers a $2 reward for obeying the speed limit. That would be nice, wouldn't it? And since, you know, they could multiply that a little bit. How about a meal at Wendy's or something? I don't know. Anyway, wearing safety belts and having children in protective seats and using turn signals. You always are nervous when you see the police lights come on, said Carl. Another resident of South Windsor was pulled over for driving good. It takes a second or two to adjust to the officer saying, "Hey, thanks a lot for obeying the law." It's about the last thing that you'd expect. So the police of South Windsor had a good idea. The first thing officers would expect from this is encouragement. Our friends, family, and fellow workers would respond best if they only could correct themselves when they do wrong, but when they get encouragement and are stopped for doing right. I think the insurance companies were do something similar. Sometimes you can get a plug thing in to your car, and they can record for you doing well, you know, with braking and not speeding and doing those things. Then they will maybe take some off of your insurance. That's encouragement. Well, Paul says to the Thessalonians, be encouraged because those who have preceded you in sleep, you will not precede them. God's going to bring them together. They will meet you in the clouds. The second coming is a great event. And we need to celebrate it. We need that kind of encouragement every day in our lives. Amen? So as we prepare for our invitation hymn, we want you to be encouraged. To be encouraged, to have confidence, to have the hope. The hope that we know that we will